Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to help you awaken your spirit. If you want to learn how to open the door to your divine self, you are in the right place. Hi everybody, welcome to Intuitive Awakening. My name is Dina. Thank you for joining me for today's episode. Today, I'm going to be talking to you all about Reiki and other modalities of healing. Many people have asked me, what is Reiki? And they wanted me to do an episode that's devoted specifically to all things Reiki. So that's what I'm doing today. There's a lot of detailed information that I'm going to be covering. So I'm also going to post the entire episode on my blog, and you can read it if you want to go back and look at some of the details I've covered for specifics. All right, so let's talk about Reiki. So Reiki is a Japanese healing technique that uses universal life energy to promote physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being. The word Reiki comes from the Japanese words rei, which means universal, and then ki, which means life energy. Now, the history of Reiki, it can be traced back to Mikao Usui, and he was a Japanese monk who lived in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. Usui is said to have rediscovered Reiki after years of study, and of course, years of meditation, our most fun thing to do. He is said to have received sudden enlightenment on Mount Kurama, after which he was able to channel Reiki energy. Usui taught Reiki to a small number of students, and the practice gradually spread throughout Japan. In the 1930s, Reiki was introduced to the West by Hawayo Takada, a Japanese-American woman who had studied with Usui's successor, Chujiro Hayashi. Takada taught Reiki to a number of students, and the practice just became increasingly popular in the US and across Europe. Now, there's some debate about the origins of Reiki. Some people believe that Usui invented Reiki, while others believe that it is a much older practice that Usui simply rediscovered. So Reiki is a non-invasive therapy that doesn't really involve any physical contact. The practitioner simply places their hands over, on, or near the recipient's body and allows the energy to flow. Now, Reiki sessions can typically last from 15 to 30 to 60 minutes. Sometimes it can even exceed that, but it really depends on the practitioner. Reiki practitioners, they believe that energy can become blocked in the body, and this leads to physical and emotional problems. Reiki is designed to help unblock this energy and allow it to flow freely throughout the body. This can help to improve your physical health, it reduces stress and anxiety, and it promotes relaxation and well-being. Now, there are so many different types of Reiki nowadays, of which I personally am familiar with just a few, but I'm just going to review a very short list out of a very long list that you could easily find on the website. So I would say if you're really interested in going this direction, do your homework first, see what resonates, and then move in that direction. So one of the main types, of course, is the one that I'm talking about today, which is Usui Reiki. And this is the original form of Reiki. And yes, it's still the most popular type of Reiki today. And it is based on the teachings of Usui, who is the founder of Reiki. You also have Karuna Reiki, and it's a newer form of Reiki, and it was developed by William Lee Rand. It's based on Usui Reiki, but it includes additional symbols and techniques. There's Sikkim Reiki, and it's another newer form of Reiki that was developed by Patrick Ziegler. It is also based on Usui Reiki, but it includes additional symbols and techniques, and it's said to be a more powerful form of Reiki than Usui. And it's often used for spiritual healing and transformation. There's holy fire Reiki, and it's a form of Reiki that is said to be more powerful than traditional Reiki. Something that I have found throughout my research is that every Reiki after a Sui Reiki or based on the foundations of a Sui Reiki are more powerful than the last. So this is something that you'll definitely come across when you're doing your own personal research. So Holy Fire Reiki in particular, it was developed by William Rand in the early 1990s. And supposedly Rand received the attunement for Holy Fire Reiki from an ascended master known as Saint Germain. And I'm going to get into ascended masters in a little bit, but that's definitely a distinguishing factor between Holy Fire and the other types of Reikis that I have encountered. There's Shambhala. Or Shambhala, however you want to pronounce it. I think it's Shambhala Reiki. And this was developed by Pamela Kreeb. It's also based on a Sui Reiki, but it includes additional symbols and techniques. And again, it's considered to be another very powerful form of Reiki, and it's used for spiritual healing and ascension. And lastly, there's Lighterian Reiki. And this is a Reiki that I'm most familiar with because I am a Lighterian Reiki master and a Sui Reiki master. But Lighterian Reiki is a form of energy healing that is said to work with the higher vibrational frequencies of light. It was developed by Laurelyn Eldridge in 1995, and it's based on the belief that we are all connected to a universal source of energy. So Lighterian Reiki practitioners believe that the body is made up of energy and that this energy can be blocked or disrupted by stress, trauma, or illness. When the energy flow is blocked, it can lead to physical, emotional, and even spiritual imbalances. Now, similar to all other Reiki practitioners, of course, Lighterian Reiki practitioners, they use their hands to channel the higher vibrational frequencies of light into the body. And of course, this is said to help unblock the energy flow and promote healing and well-being. So if you're interested in looking up Reiki or getting a session with a Reiki practitioner, it would be helpful not only to understand the type of Reiki that they do, but also look up their own personal lineage as well, because they should have that listed somewhere. All right, let's talk about blocked energy, because this comes up a lot, and I think I've already mentioned it like 3 times. So blocked energy in the body is a concept in energy healing that refers to areas of the body where the flow of energy is being restricted. Now, this can be caused by a variety of factors, including emotional trauma, physical injury, or poor diet. Blocked energy can manifest in a number of ways, including physical symptoms such as pain, fatigue, headaches. It can also lead to emotional and mental problems such as anxiety, depression, and difficulty concentrating. There are a number of ways to remove blocked energy, which includes, but is not limited to, Reiki. It also includes massage therapy and yoga, and I'm sure many other ways as well. Now, we already said that Reiki is a form of energy healing that involves the practitioner placing their hands on or near the client's body to facilitate the flow of energy. Massage therapy can help to release tension in the muscles and improve circulation, which can help to unblock energy. And yoga can also help to improve circulation and alignment, which can also help to unblock energy. The benefits of removing blocked energy include improved physical health, emotional well-being, and mental clarity. When energy flows freely through the body, it can help to improve the body's ability to even heal itself. It can help to reduce stress, reduce anxiety, depression, etc. Now, here are some of the ways that Reiki might help to remove blocked energy in the body. First, let's talk about relaxation. Reiki can help to relax the body and the mind, which can allow the body's natural healing mechanisms to work more effectively. When the body is relaxed, it's easier for the energy to flow freely. Let's talk about balancing of energy fields. Reiki can help to balance the body's energy fields, which can lead to improved overall well-being. When the energy fields are balanced, again, it is easier for the energy to flow freely. Let's talk about release of emotions. Reiki can help to release emotions that are trapped in the body, which can help to unblock energy. So again, when these emotions are released, what happens? The energy can flow freely. Lastly, increased awareness. Reiki can help to increase awareness of the body's energy system, which can help to identify and unblock blocked energy. When people are more aware of their energy system, they're better able to take steps to unblock the blocked energy. I'm going to move on to talking about Reiki and pendulums. So if you've ever had a Reiki session, you may or may not have come into contact with a practitioner who uses pendulums at the start of the session. For those of you who are unfamiliar with pendulums, they're a weight surrounded by a fixed point so that it can swing freely. So pendulums are often used as a tool for divination. So some of you might be very accustomed to pendulums because you use them to get a lot of answers in your life. but they're used to get a lot of information, especially when you're seeking knowledge about the future. So whether or not you should use a pendulum during your Reiki session, if you are the practitioner, it's really a matter of personal preference. Some practitioners find that using a pendulum can really help them to focus their attention and even to identify areas of the body that need healing. Others find that using a pendulum is really unnecessary or even distracting. So if you're considering using a pendulum during Reiki, there are a few things you should keep in mind. First, choose a pendulum that feels comfortable to you and that you feel drawn to. Sometimes you might be drawn to a pendulum that is rose quartz because the client that's coming in needs a lot of energy around their heart chakra and needs healing in the heart area. Or you might be drawn to, I'm just kind of riffing here, you might be drawn to what color? Let's say sodalite, it's the dark bluish color, and that might need, the client might need more attention over their brow chakra. So, you know, when you're picking a pendulum, you might, you know, gravitate towards one or the other depending on the client's needs. So also, a couple of other things you should keep in mind. Of course, after you chose the pendulum for that client, you want to hold the pendulum in your dominant hand and allow it to hang freely. Ask a question that you want the pendulum to answer and observe the way the pendulum moves to see if it's giving you a yes or no answer. Now, it's important to remember that the pendulum is simply a tool. The power of Reiki comes from the intention of the practitioner. Whether or not you use a pendulum, the most important thing is that you focus your attention really on healing and, of course, relaxation. So again, here are just some of the benefits of using the pendulum during Reiki. So it can help you to focus your intention. When you use a pendulum, you are essentially asking the pendulum to help you to focus your intention on the healing process. And this can be helpful for people who find it difficult to focus their attention. It can help you to identify areas of the body that need healing. The pendulum can be used to scan the body for areas in particular that need the most attention. And this is really helpful for people who really just are not sure where they need the healing. So let's say it's the beginning of the session and you're drawn to a particular pendulum. You're going to want to use that pendulum over the client's body to see what areas in particular need the most focused attention. So again, it's a really super, super helpful tool. If you don't want to use it, that's fine. But if you do, again, it'll give you just more vital information, which of course enhances the experience of the client as well. Lastly, one of the benefits of using a pendulum during Reiki is that it can help you to receive guidance. The pendulum can be used to receive guidance from your higher self or even from Reiki energy. And again, this can be helpful for people who are looking for guidance in their lives. All right, Reiki and symbols. Many of you who are listening today, I would guess at least, you know, 9 out of 10 of you have either had a session, knows a practitioner. I think everyone and their mom does Reiki, honestly. If not, you've probably seen the symbols now that they're printed and available everywhere. The Reiki symbols are said to have been discovered by the founder of Reiki during his 21-day meditation on Mount Kurama. According to Usui, the symbols represent different aspects of Reiki energy, and they can be used to focus and direct the energy. It's not really clear where the Reiki symbols came from originally. Some people believe that they are ancient symbols that have been passed down through the ages. Others believe that Usui created them himself. The important thing is that the symbols are used with intention and, of course, with focus. As for whether or not you can create your own Reiki symbols, this is really debatable. Some Reiki practitioners believe that it's possible to create your own symbols that are specific to your own needs and to your own intentions. Others believe that it's not necessary to create your own symbols and that the traditional symbols are sufficient. If you are interested in creating your own Reiki symbols, here are a few things that you can do. First, of course, our favorite thing to do, meditate on the Reiki energy and ask for guidance. Second, draw symbols that are meaningful to you. I don't know if this resonates with anybody, but whenever you're doodling, even ever since you were a child, were there certain symbols that you've always replicated over and over and over and over, even in the corners of your notebook during class? Even if, you know, you're bored and you're doodling certain symbols, sometimes those symbols resonate for a reason. So if you're a practitioner, I would kind of go back and revisit that because there might be something there that is helpful. And then, of course, you're going to want to use symbols that represent your intentions for healing or for growth. It's important to remember that the symbols are simply tools. The power of Reiki, of course, comes from the intention of the practitioner. Whether you use traditional symbols or use your own, the most important thing is that you use them with intention and with focus. I wouldn't be surprised for many of you who are listening, and if you're Reiki practitioners, you may actually dream new symbols. It may not be an intention that you set out to do, but you may have had a few dreams where, for some strange reason, all of a sudden new symbols appeared. That has happened to me once, and I woke up and I wrote them down, but to be perfectly honest, I had the symbols, but I don't know what the focus or the intention, you know, is behind them. So that also could be a thing that could happen, just putting that out there. But if you do receive a symbol in a dream, definitely ask for guidance so you understand how to apply it during your healing sessions. Note to self. Now let's move on to Ascended Masters and Reiki. For those of you who are unaware of what Ascended Masters are, an Ascended Master is a spiritual being who has attained a high level of enlightenment. Ascended Masters are often believed to be able to help humans on their spiritual path, and they're often invoked in New Age spirituality. It's a term, you know, that you find in this community. There are many different Ascended Masters who've been said to have existed. Of course, these include, but are not limited to, Jesus, Buddha, Krishna, Kuan Yin, Mother Mary, the list goes on. Now, of course, yes, these masters are often said to have lived on Earth in the past, but now they have ascended to a higher level of existence. Ascended Masters are often believed to be able to communicate with humans, and they're often invoked in New Age spirituality. Some people believe that Ascended Masters can help humans to heal, to manifest their desires, and to achieve enlightenment. Now, whether or not you should call upon or work with a specific Ascended Master to help you amplify your healing energy is a personal decision. There's not really a right or wrong answer here, and what works for one person may not work for another. Some people find that calling upon or working with an Ascended Master can help them to connect with a higher source of healing energy. They believe that these masters can offer guidance, they can offer support, and that they can really help them to amplify the healing energy of Reiki. Other people prefer to just focus on the Reiki energy itself, and they don't really feel the need to call upon an ascended master whatsoever. And those people in particular usually believe that Reiki energy is powerful enough on its own, and they don't really need any outside help. Ultimately, the decision of whether or not to call upon or work with a master is up to you. If you feel that it would help you to connect with, you know, the healing energy of Reiki, I would totally encourage you to try it. There are so many, for lack of a better word, deities, ascended masters, goddesses, guides, whomever. And, you know, for the most part, whenever you step into a new healing modality, there's always usually going to be a guide assigned to you to help you with that anyway. So if you just want to work with that energy with itself, that's completely fine. It's always up to you as the practitioner. Now I want to move into talking about sound healing in conjunction with Reiki, because I think a lot of us actually combine the two whenever we're doing a session. So sound healing is another form of energy healing, and it can be used to do what? Unblock energy. So we're finding this huge trend here. Sound healing involves using different frequencies of sound to help balance the body's energy. This can be done through listening to music, using singing bowls, or chanting, etc. We'll get into a few of these. Now, whether you should combine Reiki with sound healing to enhance the healing session is really, again, a matter of personal preference. Some people find that combining the two modalities can be really beneficial, while other people just want the client to experience Reiki on its own. If you're considering combining Reiki with sound healing, here are a few things you should keep in mind. First, choose the right sounds. The sounds you choose should be soothing and relaxing. You may want to choose sounds that are associated with healing or relaxation, such as nature sounds, Tibetan singing bowls, chimes, crystal bowls, all kinds of interesting things you can use. And of course, you want to use the sounds in a way that feels most comfortable to you, but of course, to the client. Not everything is going to resonate with your client. Sometimes it can be really distracting, and you guys might not like the same thing, so keep that in mind and always ask whether or not the music you're including is helpful or harmful or hindering, hindering their ability to be open to the session as well. So I want to talk about the benefits of combining Reiki with sound healing. So as I said before, it can really relax the body and the mind. It can help, like the sound itself can help to create a sense of peace and relaxation, making it easier for the body to receive Reiki energy. It can also help to release emotions. The sounds themselves can help to release blocked emotions, which can do what? Help to promote healing. And it can help to connect with the spiritual realm. The sounds can help to connect with spiritual realm, which can enhance the healing experience as well. Sometimes there are certain sounds that feel very, for lack of a better word, like home-like to us. They remind us of home. There's like this intuitive response that we have to a certain sound or certain types of music that remind us of that, right? So some sort of deep healing can take place during that session. Now, I said this before about other things, but ultimately the decision as to, you know, whether or not you want to combine Reiki with sound healing is a personal matter. And again, there's no right or wrong answer here. You know, if you are considering combining the two modalities, I would encourage you to experiment and see if it's really helpful for you. I want to move on to the chakras because this is really important with Reiki. There is a belief that each chakra is associated with a specific musical note. And now this belief is based on the idea that chakras are centers of energy in the body and that each chakra vibrates at a different frequency. The musical notes are said to correspond to these frequencies, and that listening to music with the correct notes can help to balance and heal the chakras. So just to give you a few examples here, and again, I'm going to list everything on my website for you in case you want a reference table, but let's just talk about the root chakra as an example. So if you wanted to work on the root chakra, you may want to focus on the musical note C to help heal the root chakra. if you wanted to work on healing the sacral chakra, you would start listening to music with predominant musical notes of D or just D. Solar plexus would correspond to the musical note of E. The heart corresponds to the musical note of F. The throat corresponds to the musical note of G. The third eye corresponds to the musical note of A. And the crown corresponds to the musical note of B. Now, again, as I said earlier, here are some of the benefits of listening to music for chakra healing. It can help to relax the body and the mind. So listening to music can help to create a sense of peace and relaxation, which again can make it easier for the body to receive healing energy. And again, you know, listening to music can do what? Help to release emotions. It can help to release blocked emotions and promote healing. And again, you know, listening to certain types of music that we really deeply resonate with, it can help us to connect to spiritual realms that also enhance this healing experience. All right, let's talk about Reiki and using tuning forks. Tuning forks are used in sound healing, which is a type of alternative medicine that uses sound waves to promote healing. The theory behind sound healing, again, is that sound waves can interact with the body's energy field, which can help to promote relaxation, reduce stress, and improve your overall well-being. Tuning forks work by emitting a specific frequency of sound waves. When these sound waves interact with the body's energy field, they can help to balance and harmonize the energy. And of course, this can lead to a number of benefits, which include but are not limited to, of course, relaxation. The sound waves can help to relax the body and the mind, making them a great way to relieve stress and anxiety. Pain relief. Some studies have shown that sound waves can help to relieve pain. Improved sleep. Sound waves can help to promote sleep by relaxing the body and the mind. A boosted immune system. Some studies have shown that sound waves can boost the immune system and an improved mood. Sound waves can help to improve mood by reducing what? Stress and anxiety. So tuning forks can be used to enhance Reiki sessions. I have personally never done this. I remember many years ago, there was a girl, long story, who used a tuning fork and took it with her everywhere she went. Because she needed it to help herself. And at that time, this is so long ago, I don't even remember all the details. I didn't know anything about sound healing or Reiki or anything like that at the time. But I remember she needed that freaking tuning fork wherever she went. But I've never incorporated this into a session. It's something that has been on my radar and I'm very interested in it. But I want to give you everything that I've learned about tuning forks today, because I do think sound healing in whatever format you choose can really be helpful just independently without even having to go to a Reiki session. But I think in conjunction with energy healing, it's super helpful for promoting healing. So if you're interested in using tuning forks to enhance your Reiki sessions, there's a few things that you should keep in mind. First, of course, choose the right tuning forks. There are many different tuning forks available, so it's important for you to choose the right ones for your needs. You may want to choose tuning forks that are associated with specific chakras or that have a frequency that you find relaxing. It's important that you really learn how to use the tuning forks correctly. You should strike the tuning fork and then hold it close to the body. You may also want to use a tuning fork activator, and this is a device that helps to amplify the sound waves. And of course, keep in mind that you have to be patient with all this work. It may take some time to see the benefits of using the tuning forks with Reiki, but if you're patient and allow things to unfold naturally, I'm sure it will pay off. So there are a number of tuning forks that are associated with your chakras. I'm not going to go through every single one, but I will give you a couple of examples and post the rest on my website. So if you do want to use this modality for your work, I would highly recommend you experiment with one type of tuning fork, because I think some of them can be a little bit pricey. So for example, if you know you need some help with your throat, I would just probably purchase the throat chakra, the throat chakra tuning fork. And just as an example here, some really interesting details about tuning forks I knew nothing about. So for example, if I did want to buy a tuning fork for my throat chakra, it would be at 141.27 hertz, which apparently is the frequency of the planet Mercury. This tuning fork is associated with the color blue and the element of ether, so it's pretty neat, and it's said to promote communication, creativity, and expression, which is what you need to heal or balance your throat chakra. I'll give you a couple more examples here. Let's go to the solar plexus chakra. So your solar plexus chakra tuning fork is at 126.22 hertz, which is the frequency of the sun. Neat, had no idea about any of that. This tuning fork is associated with the color yellow and the element of fire, and it's said to promote personal power, confidence, and self-esteem. The last one that I'll do is the third eye chakra, which is at 221.23 hertz, which is the frequency of the planet Venus. And this tuning fork is associated, of course, with the color indigo and the element of spirit. And it is said to promote intuition, wisdom, and psychic abilities. You know, whenever you are doing any type of, especially chakra healing work, you know, there's never the one size fits all. Tuning forks may just be one thing you want to add to the client session again that may help when we're working on healing the chakras, or, you know, combining it with Reiki to heal just your energy system. In particular, some of this resonates, some of this doesn't resonate. You may want to combine Reiki with a different modality such as aromatherapy, which is what I'm going to move on to next. I think many of you who are listening know everything about aromatherapy. You just don't know you know. or at this time, you probably have a lot of essential oils or essential oil roll-on balls in your purse. I know I certainly do. Now, aromatherapy is the use of essential oils that are extracted from plants for therapeutic benefits. The theory of aromatherapy is that the scents of the essential oils, they can interact with the body's limbic system, which is the part of the brain that controls emotions and memory. This interaction can help to promote relaxation, reduce stress, and just improve your overall well-being. There are many different essential oils that you can use for aromatherapy, each one with its own unique properties. Some of the most common essential oils include lavender, peppermint, eucalyptus, tea tree, and frankincense. It's very interesting to see how the aromatherapy industry has literally exploded. You can go to Target, TJ Maxx, Marshall's, Hobby Lobby. I'm just thinking of all the places that you could go to where you will find essential oils, probably even Walgreens and CVS, you guys. So this is definitely very mainstream, but I think a lot of people really do relate to very specific types of scents, and some of them may make you happy. Some of them, you know, make you remember certain things in your life that made you very happy or excited or joyful or what have you, but it has become really mainstream. Of course, aromatherapy is a safe and natural way to promote relaxation and to reduce stress, and it can enhance a Reiki session. The scents of essential oils, they can help to relax the body and the mind, which makes it easier for the body to receive Reiki energy. Additionally, the scents of the essential oils, they can be used or associated with specific chakras. So using the right essential oils can help to balance and heal the chakras. So here are some of the essential oils that are most commonly used in Reiki sessions. I bet you all can guess number one, which is lavender, my favorite. I have this all over my house. So lavender is a calming and relaxing oil that is often used to promote sleep. And it's also associated with the heart chakra. Next, we have frankincense. Frankincense is a grounding and centering oil that is often used to promote spiritual growth. It is associated with the crown chakra. Next, there's Lang Lang. Lang Lang is a stimulating and uplifting oil that is often used to promote relaxation and well-being, and is associated with the heart chakra. Eucalyptus. And eucalyptus, I love eucalyptus for many things. It's a refreshing and invigorating oil, and it's often used to promote respiratory health, and it's associated with throat chakra. And lastly, peppermint. It's a stimulating and energizing oil, and it's often used to promote digestion, and it's associated with the solar plexus chakra. So if you're interested in trying aromatherapy during a Reiki session as a practitioner, maybe speak with a client first to see if they have allergies, because that's super important. Also, you know, collaborate with spirit to see if there's an oil that may resonate with the person's energy prior to the session. All in all, keep in mind, it's always important to experiment and find what works best for you. I now want to speak to you about the power of visualization during a Reiki session. Some people believe that using visualization with Reiki can make it way more effective. Visualization is the process of creating mental images of what you want to achieve. When you visualize yourself receiving Reiki, you are essentially sending a message to your subconscious mind that you are open to receiving healing energy. And this can help to increase the effectiveness of Reiki by making your body more receptive to the healing energy. There are a few different ways to visualize Reiki. One way is to simply imagine yourself being surrounded by a warm, healing light. You can also imagine the Reiki energy flowing through your body, cleansing and healing any areas that you need it to. And if you're feeling very creative, you can even create your own visualization that is really meaningful for you. There's no right or wrong way to visualize Reiki. The most important thing is that you find a visualization that works for you and that helps you to feel relaxed and open to really receiving as much healing as you can. So here are some tips for using visualization with Reiki. Of course, find a quiet place where you're not going to be disturbed. Otherwise, turn off, you know, your phone as usual. Sit or lie down in a comfortable position. Close your eyes and take a few deep breaths. People always ask, like, why am I taking all these deep breaths before a session or before we do anything? Because it helps to relax your energy. Begin to visualize yourself receiving Reiki. Allow yourself to feel the healing energy flowing through your body, and then stay with the visualization for as long as you can. When you're finished, open your eyes and, of course, take a few more deep breaths. If you're new to visualization, you might find it helpful to practice with a simple visualization. For example, you could imagine yourself sitting in a warm, sunny meadow. As you visualize yourself in the meadow, notice how the sun feels on your skin and the smell of the flowers in the air, and allow yourself to feel relaxed and peaceful in the meadow. Once you have practiced with a simple visualization, you can then start to create more complex visualizations that are more specific to your needs. So for example, if you're feeling pain in your back, you could visualize the Reiki energy flowing through your back and healing the pain. Visualization itself can really be a powerful tool for enhancing the effectiveness of Reiki. If you're open to trying it, you should really experiment with different types of visualization and really see what works for you. Now, the other thing I wanted to briefly discuss here is, if you're the practitioner, should you be visualizing Reiki? This is a question people ask all the time, and I've asked my teachers as well, like, do I have to stand here and imagine, you know, the light going through every little nerve, blood vessel, blah, blah, blah. And no, you don't have to. You're simply the channel through which the light flows through. With that said, I have personally found that when I am visualizing a very specific type of light in the affected area, I do think it enhances it. So food for thought. You may agree with that, you may not, or it may not work for you, but I always say, you know, why not try? Next, many people ask, how many sessions do I need? This is a common freaking question. Even when I go have a session by someone, I'm like, huh, how many sessions do I need to fix this problem? How many is it going to take for, you know, how many do I need to have for the healing to take effect? The number of Reiki sessions needed to experience the benefits of energy healing, it really varies from person to person. Some people may feel the full effects after one or two sessions, while others may need more time. And there's no one-size-fits-all answer to this question. The number of sessions needed also depends on the specific issue you are addressing. For example, if you're seeking Reiki for pain relief, you may need fewer sessions than if you were seeking Reiki for emotional healing. So here are some factors that may affect the number of Reiki sessions that you need. Number one is the severity of the issue. The more severe your issue, the more sessions you are likely going to need. Number two, your individual response to Reiki. Some people are more responsive to Reiki than others. If you're one of those, you may need fewer sessions. And when I say that they are more responsive, they might be more open to receiving. They may have a lot of belief in the energy healing itself, while some can be really skeptical undergoing the session, therefore the effectiveness may not be as strong. And then lastly, your commitment to the process. If you're committed to the process of Reiki, you are more likely to experience the benefits. Now, if you're considering Reiki, speak to your Reiki practitioner and they can help you to determine how many sessions you may need and what to expect. Your practitioner usually will have a good intuition about the severity of the issue, what's happening underneath, like what the root cause is, and how many sessions. Now, I say this with the full knowledge that there are frauds out there who may say, oh my goodness, you need 50 sessions to heal whatever it is so they can price gouge you and, you know, you can pay for their rent and everything. No, you know, also use your intuition if you are the client. If it doesn't feel right, you know, if the session doesn't feel right, then go elsewhere. Always trust your gut whenever you're getting a session. And if you feel like the person's intentions aren't good, then they probably aren't. So always trust yourself. Okay. Now, a couple of other things before I end today's talk on Reiki. What do you have to do as a practitioner if you're opening a Reiki session, and how do you close your session? I am going to tell you some thoughts, but of course, you're the practitioner. You do as you want. Everybody has their own methods, so let's keep that in mind. So really, the way you start your Reiki session as a practitioner is up to you. Some practitioners choose to say a prayer or an affirmation, while others focus on grounding themselves. I'm probably one of those. There's no right or wrong way to start a Reiki session, and what works best for one practitioner may not work for another. So here are some tips for starting your Reiki session, but you know, these are just my tips. So of course, find a quiet and comfortable place, you know, to work. Take some deep breaths and relax yourself, and then focus on your intentions for the session. I feel like everybody should be doing that, actually. You may choose to say a prayer, or you may choose to say a specific affirmation. Ground yourself by connecting with the earth or by visualizing some sort of grounding cord. And then if you want, you can call in any of the ascended masters, the archangels, whoever it is that you work with. Call them in and ask them to guide your hands during the session, to show you things during the session as well. So things to keep in mind, and then you'll go about your business. So here are some examples of prayers or affirmations that you could say before starting your Reiki session. I affirm that I am a channel for Reiki energy and that I'm open to receiving guidance from the universe. I ground myself in the present moment and connect with the energy of the earth. I pray that this Reiki session will be healing and beneficial for the recipient, or if you want to make it more affirmative, I state, as a matter of fact, whatever resonates with you. As always, it's important for you to find what works best for you. And again, what works for me may not work for you. So here are some additional tips before starting your session as a practitioner. Be present and mindful. It always means, you know, paying attention to your breath, your body, and the thoughts that you have prior to the session. I say that with knowing that sometimes, even before the client comes in, you know, you might have a recurring thought about something. It's likely in reference to your client. So just be in the present moment to receive guidance. And also, you know, when you are doing a Reiki session, be open. It's important because you may receive messages from source, I'll put it like that, and you need to be willing to let go of your expectations and just trust that the Reiki energy is flowing where it's needed most, and that what you're being shown needs to be shared with the client so that you can truly help them in many ways. And then lastly, of course, be patient. Reiki is a gentle and a subtle energy, so it may take some time for you to feel its effects. Be patient and allow the Reiki energy to do its work. One thing I want to mention here is, what does Reiki feel like if you are the receiver or if you're the practitioner? This is also a difficult question because it's relative to each person. Some people feel a lot of heat coming off of the practitioner's hands, so it's a very hot session for them, or they may feel heat in certain areas and not in others. So to them, it's like, oh, this is really working. This is legit, right? So that's always nice if that happens. The practitioner may or may not feel the heat at all. The practitioner may feel some sort of vibration in their hands or in their body. They may feel nothing at all, which is also true for other people. So if you are a new practitioner or an existing practitioner, you still may feel no energy, but you might have an intuitive sense about what's going on. You know, the information may be coming from your gut. So again, all of this is very relative to you. And I think that comparing yourself with others is super not helpful, especially as a practitioner. All right, a couple of last things that I have here. Closing your session. There are many ways to end out or close your Reiki session. Here are just a few common methods. Of course, you know, regrounding yourself, simply just visualizing your grounding down into the earth, connecting, you know, all the way back down to the energy of the earth. And this is going to help you be back in the present moment and integrate the healing energy of the Reiki session. Of course, taking a few deep breaths, feeling the energy of the Reiki session flowing through you. As you exhale, release any tension or stress that you may be holding on to. You can say an affirmation. You can repeat an affirmation to yourself, such as, I am at peace, I am whole and complete, I end this session, what have you. All of this can help to reinforce, you know, positive effects of the Reiki session, depending on the phrase you choose. And then gratitude. Take a moment to express gratitude for the Reiki session and for the healing energy that you have received. So again, choose whatever works for you. But I do think it's important to make sure your tail is grounded after all of this, because you can feel a floating sensation after this. And the longer your sessions are, you really might be a little bit out of it and really, really tired by the end of the session. So again, it all depends on your own personal experience and how Reiki flows through your body. Everyone, I hope this has been very helpful today. I know it was a lot of information and there was a lot that I cut out, so I'm placing all of this on my website for you to read. But for those of you who really wanted to learn more about Reiki, I really hope that this has been very helpful. Obviously, there's more to go into about the symbols, about, you know, just starting out with Reiki and any shifts you might feel physically, and then what it's like to be a Reiki master. Many of these things you will learn independently throughout your own study, because as I've said several times during this episode, it is very relative to you. Some people, a lot of my friends are, you know, do Reiki, and their feeling of Reiki is very different than mine. Physically, emotionally, the ability to see issues in the body or feel issues or sense or have a knowing of what's going on with that person, again, it is very different across the board. So honestly, it really just depends. And if you feel called to do Reiki, then why not take a class? And this reminds me, and I feel like I should say this, you know, make sure you do your research. When you look for a practitioner, they should have a really strong lineage. On top of that, compare prices. What I've noticed is that people are really price gouging. And they are making you take Reiki 1 for an entire week, which is really crazy. So just, you know, be smart, do your research. Last thing I'm going to say, and I don't know why this just came to my head right now. Can I learn Reiki online as opposed to getting an attunement in person? Oh, great question. I struggled with this myself. So I did for Asui Reiki, from level one through master, I did all of that in person, which is a very good experience. You get to do it with other people. And of course, you know, there's bonding. You all share your experiences and you get to speak with the teacher directly. You know, there's hands-on approach. It's super helpful. So that's great. But what about from your laptop? You can, and I totally do not, I'm not against it. And I'm going to be honest, with Lighterian Reiki, I actually had my mentor who was in a different, who's in a different state. And we worked together for a while as I had my attunements, you know, shared feedback, asked questions, went through the whole process over a long period of time, actually. And I can tell you on a personal level that I definitely felt the attunements when they were happening, as she was guiding me through them, and then I would give her feedback afterwards. So you can, the answer is yes, you can definitely do this online. But I would say, honestly, if you are just starting out learning Asui Reiki, I would recommend, if possible, doing it in person so you can learn the hand placements. That is super important. And also to be with a group, I think, is super helpful as well. This is not a requirement. What you're getting are my two cents and my perspective, but I do think that at least Asui Reiki, at least level one through master, I think it would be helpful to do that in person. Anything thereafter, I think, you know, probably can just do this online and learn from there, as long as you have a great teacher who is authentic and really does want to help as opposed to just take your money. So anyway, just keeping it real with you guys. I've been doing this for a while and I really hope that all of this has been super helpful for you. Always, I'm always open to hearing your experiences, your stories of Reiki or energy healing. If you use a tuning fork, please let me know. I'm so interested in this personally, and I'm excited to practice on myself and hopefully others. And you guys, I hope this episode was helpful. I hope you all have a great, great day, great week, and a great summer. And talk to you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.